Welcome back to Weekly Manga Podcast Book Club Series, where we deep dive and explore the weekly shonen magazine series Gachiyakuta by Kei Urata. My name is Bruce, and I'm the proprietor of the White Gray Black YouTube channel, and I am joined, of course, once again by my constant co-host, Gout.
Hello, hello.
This week, we are covering volume 17 of the series, which is chapters 140 to 147, I believe we decided. At the time of this recording, the cover has been revealed, and we do not actually know the chapter count, so if it turns out to be 140 through 148, like I put on the screen, which I think I'm going to change before it goes onto the thing, we will see. I think 147 is a more logical ending point, so I think that's where we're going. Gautam, how did you feel about this, basically, nine chapters of battle with Maimo?
It was pretty good. I enjoyed kind of, like, the team dynamics, and some of the fights were... They did some, like, really creative and cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, overall, I'd say it was more or less kind of an action volume. And I am more of a, like, character development guy, so I found the last volume more interesting, and I'll probably find the next one even more so.
Yeah, for sure.
But it had some cool freaking action, man.
It does.
We'll talk about it more. Yeah. What about you? What did you think?
I liked it. I actually thought this was probably the best action volume we've gotten.
I actually agree with that.
It flows really well. It's kind of focused on one battle with multiple people. The last time we had what I would consider like really good battle ones was Inside the Trash Beast. And I thought that those were really good, but that was a little more spread out, like a bunch of 1v1s, 1v2s and stuff. This one just it just works. And the thing that I really like about this, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, is that because Maimo has been listening to all of the chokers, he has all the same information that we as readers do. And I think that makes him an exceptional bad guy. Like, I think he's a great baddie in this volume.
Yeah. I'm wondering what was omitted from, because some information he doesn't have, but we don't quite know what.
Basically anything that's been said out loud while wearing a choker, you can kind of assume he has, because he brings up stuff that's said in private between two or three characters, and brings up stuff that we don't know about. I just think he's as far as the bad guys go, I think Zodal is awesome, and I like Maimo being on the other end of being a little bit more sort of joker like and all knowing, whereas Zodal is kind of
he's trying to figure things out.
Yeah,
he reminds me of a Littlefinger type.
Mm-hmm. For sure, absolutely, and Littlefinger's literally the best character in Game of Thrones, so.
Littlefinger was the guy with the mustache, right?
Yeah, I don't remember if he had a mustache or a goatee, but yeah, he had a slimy
look. Or was he the bald guy?
No, not the bald guy. The bald guy's, I don't remember his name, but Littlefinger's the small, dark hair. Yeah, he had a mustache or a goatee.
Yeah, he reminds me of Littlefinger.
Yeah, he reminds me of sort of a Riddler kind of Joker type, where he's sort of I know everything and you don't. I have all the answers. I have all the ways I can prod you and stuff. So, and this will continue, I think, into the next at least volume and a half, probably two volumes, of Maimo being, in my opinion, sort of the best kind of singular bad guy that we get in Gachiyakuta at this point. And I think Zodal is really good. He's not far behind him, but I really like this kind of Maimo one-off thing.
I think Zodal is the better villain, but only because he is so, interwoven with the plot. And Maimo is, I wouldn't say Power Rangers villain that has just kind of appeared, but he kind of feels that way in that he's interesting, and the Doll Festival is great, but mm-hmm. I just met him kind of a thing.
Yeah. Well, he has been in. He didn't show up first in chapter 40, whatever, talked about. But
yeah,
I
guess that's true. He's the news reporter.
I have to kind of, not really spoilers, but I have to admit, obviously, that I read this week to week, so I have a little bit more to go on. And I think Maimo will grow on you the longer the battle goes on, essentially. So.
Got it.
Yeah. So that's.
Yeah. Well, I think, and maybe I'm off base here because you've read a bit more, but I feel like there's probably one more volume of this, only because the fight's kind of concluded. So I'm curious as to where it goes from here.
But, I cannot fucking wait for the next volume. I mean, without spoiling it, this volume is sort of oh yeah, cool, fun volume, and the next volume is batshit insane, but it's very, I'm very excited to get to that volume. We'll get there in February next year, probably, something like that. So cool. Let's hop into the chapters here. We'll start with 140. This is called Weakness Part 1. The cleaners here are trying to say, like, well, we can't take the necklaces off everyone. We have Goka kind of watching from the background here. They're trying to, you know, like, figure out how to fight him. Goka is cool. There's not much other to say other than he's just the classic sort of, like, I am a badass and I have no emotions character. But he looks cool.
He's like the assassin. He's like, I'm going to do the CIA unglamorous assassination type work in the background. And also, I'm terrified of disappointing my sister.
And also, I'm going to shame my little brother while he's not here, being like, I won't end up like that failure. I like that he's more of like the brute assassin. You know, he's like, I'm going to do the dark work, but I'm like the muscle guy who does the dark work.
It's like, I need to do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And also, I'm afraid of my sister, and I think my little brother's lame.
It definitely, that whole family definitely seems like the younger you are, you're basically just afraid of everyone older than you. Like, I think, it might be in a later one, but I think it's in a later volume, but I think there's like a flashback or something of like the older sister talking to the mom or something like that. Or maybe it was in the previous one. I don't remember. There's like a little scene of that, and it's like, oh yeah, they're afraid of like, it goes all the way to the top here. So.
Yeah. It's like less of a family unit, more of like a hierarchy.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah, it's, I think the implication is that it's both, and it's a little toxic because of it. Mm-hmm. Man, again, I feel like I say this every volume, the spreads in this volume, really freaking good. They're always good. They're just always going to be good, but I'll call them out. We kind of cut right back into where the last volume left us with this kind of tidal wave of people coming over, Maimo reaching in. I don't know. I think I have an affinity for, because I grew up with Batman kind of being like the thing, and Batman is still something I enjoy quite a lot. The Riddler and the Joker, the Riddler definitely is like, I think one of my favorite, if not my favorite Batman villain from sort of the old anime series. And Maimo is just like, he's the Riddler and the Joker. He's like chaos and he has all the information. And I like him when he's just like, I don't know. I think he's great.
He looks like Helga Pataki.
I don't know who that is.
You know, Hey Arnold?
Vaguely.
She's a bully. She bullied Hey Arnold.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. So, this man, what a great surprise right here. We get kind of an opposing wall of not corpses, but an opposing wall of bodies throwing themselves against Maimo's wall. Also, like, simple color work here of, like, a dark-shadowed and a light-shadowed one. I don't know. It's really simple, but it just makes it so clear what's going on. It just clarifies things, and it makes it really easy to read. What a great page. I love just, like, the hand at the bottom here, and you're like, wait, what? And then it's like, it's the cutest version of Amo we've ever seen. She's like...
Yep.
And with the Foo down here.
What a pose.
It's so good. And I love Engine and Engine and Amo is like my favorite dynamic in the whole series now.
It's like so aggressive.
It's so,
it's,
and
like,
I think we're
so hostile.
Yeah.
I love it.
And so this was a really short chapter. I remember reading this when it came out, and this was like an 8-page chapter or something, and she was like, sorry, I think they were literally working on like the anime was coming out really soon after this one. So I think that's why Urano was gone for that. But that's it for 140. This is technically 140 part two. So of our sort of 9 chapters, this is the second one. This is where we do kind of get a glimpse into what Maimo doesn't know, right? It's like, oh, he didn't know Amo was coming. And then we kind of, he lore dumps on us because he's the knowledge character. He's like, oh, she used her powers to make part of the audience smell something, which is making them want to help her. That's the Watchmen series for you. Its quality is high enough to override my rule power. This is a pretty interesting lore drop. I think there's a couple of interesting lore drops in this thing. Of like, so if you have a extremely powerful vital instrument, it kind of doesn't matter because the Watchmen series can actually just override its power sometimes, which I think kind of shows how incredibly busted and broken the Watchmen series can be. And I think that this will come into play later on when Rudo or someone is fighting someone without a Watchmen series item and appears to be losing, and then the Watchmen series will just like get powerful and override whatever the power is. So.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's like, I think the Watchmen series are like anomalous in the rules of this work, but mm-hmm. like I think if it is this power versus like a non-Watchman power, it would be determined by like the feelings in the vital instrument, right?
Right.
As
right,
mentioned yeah. in the volume. But I don't know how the Watchman's here. I think probably just has like baked in good vibes or something.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, and I think we get vibes. We get it either here or in a chapter or two where Amo's talking to Corvus, where Amo like does not have full power control of how to use her boots like this. So she's like not at 100% going toe to toe with Mimo with these people. So I think that's cool. I think this is yeah, this is where we get Amo and Engine like don't talk to Amo like we're friends.
I like how it's so simple, but Engine's what with a period at the end what? Is just like perfect, because it's like normally you just say what without a period.
Yeah.
This is like a very much a what kind
it's
of.
It's also it's also not a question mark. Like normally, yeah. What is a question, right? This is just like
yeah.
What, like just yeah. I love his face here. Engine has the best faces. It's like, if you told Amo why Rudo came here in the first place, you could have helped sooner. He's like, excuse me, I told you before he came, take your choker off. I save you from falling under control. It's like, that doesn't change the fact that you left Amo out. And he does a little tongue click, a little, and he's like, don't click your tongue at Amo.
Because ultimately she's right. Yeah. I love that. That is great.
Yeah, but it's also sort of, yeah, it's funny. And we get introduced to the two kind of sidekicks of Mimo here, who I think are really cool. Like, the designs always hit in this, obviously. But we are introduced to, this is Gil, who has a sort of baseball bat vital instrument that turns anything that's a ball. And then Felix is the guy with the shield here.
Felix is the other guy. Okay.
Yeah. And he has a letter from his wife that he loves, which allows him to sort of protect the things, quote unquote, inside the letter, which he makes a shield. Yeah. So one of these balls hits Rudo and kind of breaks his arm, it looks like, basically. Yeah, he says it's just broken, basically. Which, Rudo has some pretty cool stuff to do here, which I feel like he hasn't had to do in a while. Because he's like, that's just broken. He's like, I love this, how he's like, I'm used to pain in my arms. It's like, oh, you broke my arm? It's like, my hands literally hurt 24/7. Like, this is nothing. So
it's a very Usopp-esque, it's like, I'm never happy.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, oh, you injured my arms? They're already always injured all the time. It doesn't matter. Also, Rudo being a little bit more of a intelligent fighter, I guess I would say, he's like, oh, it's like, you don't have a close range fighter. That's your weakness. Turns out that's not really his weakness, but I appreciate Rudo trying to figure out the fight before just rushing in. Yeah, because Mimo's like, we don't need one. The puppets are our melee range fighters. Like, Felix Shield's invincible. You know, Gil hits balls at him. Like, that's it. I forgot that we finally get Engine doing something. It's like, Engine did not fight in the last big battle we had. He was not in the, he did not really fight in the Trash Beast. And he fought Bundus, like, very briefly when the kind of whole group did, but I think we mentioned at the time, but that Bundus fight was, like, a page and a half,
honest,
and not
Engine. Engine didn't even fight here in this,
well,
in this volume.
I don't know. I think he does, because I think that Engine is just so strong that he, like, legitimately, like, is this much stronger than this girl if he, like, really wanted to be.
Yeah, but he kind of sat this one out, let his crew take care of it.
Yeah,
this is what
yeah.
it felt like after this slash, that is, you know.
Yeah, well, and yeah, so, but it is cool to just see him. I don't know, like, he's aura farming.
Yeah.
He does like one attack against
her,
and
it
completely annihilates the whole backplate. He's got his like I'm serious face on it.
I feel like they're saving Engine, like what he's capable of, for like a big moment later.
I definitely think that everything we've seen about Engine, I think, definitely tells me that, like, Engine is, like, I think I've made this reference before, but, like, oh, he's the Gojo of Gachi Yakuda. And I definitely feel like every time he, like, doesn't fight, but fights a little bit and shows how strong he is, it's very much, like, implying, like, hey, this is one attack from a dude who we don't see fight, and it wipes out an entire wall, and he's not really even trying. Like, to me, there's a lot of implied power in Engine that, like, when he finally does unleash it, like, we're gonna get a lot. So
I he reminds me of like a mixture of Gojo and Kamina from Gurren Lagann.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah, I can see that,
because I think Gojo is a bit too cool to be Engine, but Engine is also like the kind of guy that you would hang out with and get a beer, like Kamina. He's like a hothead and kind of a dummy, you know,
yeah,
like
for sure.
He's also cool. I think Gojo is just like perfect, whereas Engine is kind of a shithead.
For sure,
I appreciate
which,
that. Yeah.
Which I think makes him even better. We get Zanka also aura farming. It's crazy. Zanka's like never won a fight. And it's like, but he shows up and is still like does awesome stuff. Like the sort of anime eye tracking laser eyes, and he gets all the balls that she's hitting. It hits him back at her.
Zanka needed a solid win.
He needed a win.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he doesn't actually seal the deal in the very end, but he does. He does kind of figure Gil out here and by the end. So.
You know what? It kind of works with the theme that they brought up in this volume, but we'll get into that later.
Cool.
Yeah, let's keep going.
This is where I think Mimos works the best is when he's sort of like taunting people with what he knows, because he calls him like the defective son of a prestigious family. He's like, yeah, you ain't wrong there. It's like, I'm just an average Joe, but my genius of a sister put me through my paces. I was especially rough. Like, you wouldn't know this, but she'll train you how to dodge gunfire. I love this. It's just like, oh, you just shot at her. She shot at her little brother and like taught him how to dodge gunfire. It's just like,
and I think also like Zanka is probably the most immune to this because he's been hearing it his whole life. Right. And he's at a point of acceptance that he's not as talented.
It's Usopp again of like, you can't trash talk Zanka. He has no ego. He has no self-confidence.
Right.
He knows he's bad. Like, you cannot put him down. He's already at his lowest at all times.
Poor guy.
Yeah. I love that he's just like, all those games of dodge bullet. Like, oh, it was a game when your sister was shooting at you with a gun.
It reminds me of like, I know I keep going back to One Piece, but it's like when they were training Luffy as a kid, Garp just threw him into the forest with tigers and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, this is not a game. This is just dangerous. I love every Ryo panel here.
She's so good in this. Like, we'll get to it in the very end, but the way this volume ends, I think, is incredibly excellent by her. It's like, I like her taunting here. It's like, oh, it's made out of papers. Like, I think scissors could cut through that. And it unsettles Felix here, which I like.
It wasn't Maima. I think it was, God, what's the guy with the string who's the evil guy who ate the whole cake? The guy who
Tamsi.
Yeah, Tamsi was, like, talking in one panel about how the rest of the cleaners don't underestimate them. They fight trash beasts all day. They're really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And they're genuinely trying to save the people here. Well, except for Ryo.
Yeah, it was just actually bloodthirsty.
Yeah, who's just bloodthirsty? Who wants to kill? But she doesn't really.
She is the I'm holding back from killing you person, but she wants,
right.
She like wants to kill, is kind of
right,
or at least that's kind of the aura she gives off.
And most specifically in this volume, every single panel of her has like killer eyes, and every single panel has people commenting on how she looks like a fucking wolf about to hunt her prey.
Yeah, for sure.
It's cool.
We get more Engine and Amo here. It's like, I guess I'll back up Amo since she hates being left out. I like how he's just like he's like immediately sassy on the last interaction they had. He's like, since she hates being left out so much, he's like, how dare you give Amo this attitude?
Engine is like, this is why I love Engine, because he's petty as fuck.
He's so
like he's just being petty here for no reason.
Yeah,
I love that.
I do like the voiceover here. This is like Felix, who's like, he's like, what in the actual, it's like, what in the world is wrong with these people? It's like, their friend's arm is broken. Why doesn't that bother them? And they're all standing here, like, looking like they're about to, like, murder him. It's so good. He's like,
it's
Lord,
kind
my
of funny. Felix is kind of like, he sticks out because he is very much like, everything about what he's been shown of him shows me that he's just a paladin. Right, like he's like a,
yeah,
he seems like a lawful good guy.
He's like, I will protect the person I'm sworn to. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why he sees the cleaners as, like, dysfunctional, right? Because he is a functional guy. But, I wonder why he saddled himself to this horse, because it seems kind of, like, opposite.
Yeah, I think, and we might get more of that later, I don't remember. But yeah, I the last line here, I think, of the chapter is, my lord Mimo, I believe you may have poked the wrong bear. Which, I like that this is, part of why I think this battle is so good is there's a lot of up and down dynamics of, like, oh, the cleaners have the advantage. Oh, Mimo has the advantage. Like, it starts out with like the Mimo wave, right? Is how the last volume ended. And you think, oh no, the wave, like Mimo's on top. And then Amo comes in and stops you, like, oh cool, the cleaners are on top. And then Mimo pulls out his two sidekicks with the balls and the shield. And you're like, okay, he's got more people. And then the cleaners come back with this. The dynamic of it makes it a really fun fight to watch, because there's no like, oh, well, the cleaners are winning the whole time, or, oh, Mimo's ahead the whole time. And then at the last minute, it swaps once. It's like, no, the dynamic of it really goes back and forth, which I think makes it really cool and interesting.
Yeah, I agree. There's an ebb and flow to all of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's interesting to have kind of a villain that doesn't fight.
Yeah, right. It's cool. Mimo's super interesting for a shonen bad guy, I think. Another awesome color page, chapter 141, hands. Everyone dripped out, of course.
That looks great. It reminds me of, I don't know why, but like something, it reminds me of Horikoshi art for some reason.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cool, cool color shows in there. I don't know who these two people are. But we get people, like someone is like taking pictures.
One
yeah,
of them
like
is Tamsi, the one with the glasses. This is the scene I was talking about Ryo.
Oh, is it really?
In her, yeah. This is Tamsi, I think, with the glasses.
Does he put a disguise on in a past chapter that I missed with the glasses and the like braid here?
I thought it was. I was fairly confident it was Tamsi, but I don't. He didn't like.
He does say that he does like go on a break and go somewhere without the cleaners. I don't. I wasn't thinking this was Tamsi. It might be. I certainly could be, because he's certainly talking about like you better not underestimate the cleaners. Like, believe it or not, they're holding back. They don't want to kill anyone. They want to keep their humanity. Yeah, I guess it could be. This is in the whole volume. I think this is the only page we get of whoever these two characters are. So like Gachiga does this a lot where it drops like one page in, and that page might be important in 40 or 100 chapters later. Like, so who knows?
I think this is Tamsi talking to like whoever he's in cahoots with, if I had to guess. I only say that because of the long hair and the braid. This is looking like a man.
He's wearing high heels. I know Tamsi's like a little bit kind of gender fluid, a little androgynous, but I don't know if he would wear heels. I mean, maybe in this series it would not surprise me, so it's not like a discounting it, but I'm not sure.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Actually, with the high heels, it might just be a woman we haven't met.
I think it's someone we haven't met, because the camera. I mean, you think Tamsi? We've
no,
seen Tamsi.
Right.
We know he's bad.
High heels.
Yeah,
high heels proves me wrong. I think
honestly, like,
I don't think he wears high heels.
We'll have
but
to
then
see.
Again, I wouldn't have expected him wearing rollerblades either. So
that's true. Yeah, I'm not going to count it out because it definitely could be him in disguise. But I'm not sure. But that's the only page you get of them in the whole volume. So no idea who those people are or what they're doing there. So Ryo is great. I like this art here. I like the paneling, how she extends into the top one and is blocked by the bottom one. I think it's cool. This is the follow up here. Is like they want to keep their humanity, except for that girl. She does not care about humanity. She will kill. She's like, wow, I'm right up in your face. You're not fighting back. I guess the barrier is the only power you have, huh? It's like time to experiment.
This is such a cinematic like angle.
Yeah, which is very good with like the broken like background, or I guess it's like the background of the set kind of in the background. We get an explanation of Felix's vital instrument called Carta, which I think just means paper because Magna Carta. Or letter, yeah, or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it says Carta or letter is
not. Yeah, because like the Magna Carta, that's like where I know the word from.
Right, yeah, same here.
Inscribes it with her own hands, carries it personally. If that letter is from a loved one, those thoughts will be even more unshakable. And the Gil's bat is called Gilmero, can turn balls into breaking balls, is the thing, and I love that she makes this joke. It's like, I've never tried it, but I wonder what happened if I hit a dude in those balls. Did that make you lose your balls?
Look at her fucking face. It's like so smug and stupid.
It's literally
and Zanka
troll
is
face.
So over it. Yeah,
it's literally troll face, and Zanka's just like, come on. Like,
he's like, this is like not my type of humor.
Yeah,
it's clearly what Zanka's thinking.
Yeah, he's like, I'm trying to take this serious. Please stop making jokes. Again, Amo being very cute on Fu is like encouraging them to fight. It's like, what even is happening over there? Like, she's a force. Like, it's love. Love is a magical thing that gives people power. Like, Engine is such a shithead. He's just like, in a way, that's insane.
It's like the happiest Fu has been. And I think it's only because he's being given orders.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is. Yes. Yeah. Like, Fu is not, like, I don't know. I like Fu. I think he's, like, solidly a good guy now. You give him orders, and I think he just, like, does everything. So
I think he's solidly a good guy, but I think there'll be, like, a scene where the bad guys give him orders, and he'll have to, like, grapple between which orders to follow, you know?
Yeah, or I think
that's, like, the thing will happen.
I think he's also a little bit of a Mr. Jekyll, Dr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, whatever it is, where it's like when he turns into he or whatever, the bad version, it's like that guy might just do bad stuff. So if he ever transforms and like, I think
it's funny, like he didn't even seem like a bad guy. He just seemed like a mischievous guy, you know? So yeah. I think that it's going to go like in Dandadan, there's Evil Eye, who's like a bad guy, quote unquote, but he's just a kid. So he can like kind of be played around. I think that's like he in my eyes.
Yeah, I can see that. This is the part where I really start liking Mimo, because he starts like talking shit about like secret things essentially. Because he talks about like, did you feel love when from Ruto and he was raining his fists on you, like talking to Amo, right? About something that happened with like, you know, there were like maybe eight people there, but eight or ten, right? It was just like the cleaners and Amo. He's like, you once bared your fangs to the cleaners and took a fist from Ruto, and yet now you've got it into your head that you want to help Ruto. Is it really because you like him? Or is he a replacement for your mister? And perhaps you're only attempting to repeat your past. And he's like playing mind games. I like this. Like, this is he's exerting his real power here, which is like, I know everything from the chokers, and I can egg you on and goad you.
Yeah,
he's basically trying to like, the cleaners thought you were the bad guy, but they were wrong, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you want to fight for those people? I like Amo's simplicity here and goodness of like Amo doesn't care that Ruto punched her. He's like, we made up. And he's just like, yeah. What? He's like, Amo did terrible like things. Yeah,
it's like a we both fucked up situation. We both apologized. And, you know, it's as easy as that. He's trying to, like, goad her into, like, thinking everybody hates her, you know, like some classic manipulator would. But, no, I mean, like, their relationship is that of children. It's pure. It's easy to move past things. it's a nice answer.
I like it. It also, to me, I would have been unsure before this chapter where, if anywhere, we were going with sort of romance with Ruto, because initially in the first, I don't know, 40 or 50 chapters, there's clearly a thing with Ryo going on. Like, she visits him in his room. I think it's clear that Ryo still kind of has a crush on him. This, to me, kind of like, I kind of flops me from a Ryo shipper to an Amo shipper. Like, what she says here, where she's like, he's like, Amo did terrible things. Ruto did terrible things, too. We both told each other we're sorry. Amo only ever knew cold hands before. Ruto was the first to touch Amo with warm hands. That very much seems like they're kind of mirrors of each other, of kind of like an abusive background. They were the first to kind of like, hold Amo with warm hands. Like, this is kind of like flopping me of like, okay, I think Amo, in a romance thing, if we do that, I think Amo might be the end game.
Yeah. But, and you know, I think so too, but we don't know Ryo's backstory at all.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that it Amo and Ruto like kind of work, because they're both like lonely kids who don't know anything about like life, and they were both like isolated from everyone. So they have like very similar backstories. And who knows, Ryo could too. But
the only thing that worries me about this is, as a cynical reader, setting up Amo as a like earlier kind of nice, kind healer ship makes me think that like, well, if you were gonna kill someone in the story to drive everyone to like chase down a bad guy, it's like, it's probably Amo.
I don't see that happening.
I don't know.
She had too miserable of a backstory.
That's true.
And life and everything happening to her for. And then she got kidnapped.
And she got kidnapped.
And got a whole cake.
Yeah, you're probably
in front
right.
of her.
You're probably
this
right.
This is too depressing.
I am always concerned because Gachiakuta feels like a wild shaken box, and it's like
die. Engine is more
like, yeah, I mean, Engine's the Obi-Wan. I think that is.
He's the Kamina. He's the Gojo. He's all of it.
I do think that'll be far, far in the future if it does happen. But he is definitely the most likely of like. I mean, it's quite literally the trope. Like the master has to die before the student can truly, you know, excel or whatever.
And can I just say, I think it would I think it would be more emotional if Engine dies than any of those characters I mentioned, because we got to know him way longer than an Obi-Wan or
Kamina, even. You know? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think we're going to keep getting to know him, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, just cute Amo here. Like, Ruto's hands made Amo's world bigger. It's like, Amo will stay in an environment where Ruto is and go learn about more sense from the outside world. She's basically just dedicating, like... Yeah, I
appreciated this volume. Like, her weakness is her lack of experience with others, mm-hmm. which makes total sense with, like, a mind control type power, right?
Is, yeah.
Like, she doesn't know about people or the world. She just knows about her insulated space. So, yeah, her power is going to be based on what her perception of other people want. And that's not what everyone wants. Yeah, it's cool. Despite her power being stronger, Maimo's power is quote-unquote stronger just because he understands people.
Practiced and yeah, and literally just experience. Yeah. I mean, speaking of what we just talked about, the sort of like ebb and flow, this is very much a sort of like, oh, you know, we flow, we give Maimo the power to like, oh, he's gonna like, does he have, you know, does he have Amo trapped? Is he gonna get her with the mental games? And then Amo comes back with like, no, you're not gonna get me with the mental games, you know, I'm a kind, I'm a good person, we made up. And that ebb and flow, and then immediately the response here is cool because it's like Amo will stay in an environment where Ruto is and go learn more about the sense from the outside world. And Maimo's there like, okay, let me show you, little girl. He's like, how the world takes the ignorant creatures that they have only just emerged from their cages and gobbles them up. And we see the twins who we've been sort of told about, but we haven't seen. And we also get, we saw this girl, I think, in the last volume. She was like putting on a performance on stage with her cat doll.
Yeah, like her grandma died and left her the cat doll. Yeah.
Yeah, so... but again, I like the back and forth of like, oh, Amo has the power because she rejects him. And then Maimo just being like, okay, let me show you the other bullshit I got behind the scenes. And it's just like, I've got all these other people enslaved.
I think it's like, it's interesting because Maimo's whole strategy is that he has had planned this out and he's prepared for all these people, except for Amo. Mm-hmm. And, his plans are failing one at a time, which is why Felix is freaking out a little bit. But it's cool to watch him pull out trump card after trump card. It's like, what? Okay, that didn't work. Here's the next one.
Yeah.
You know, the whole volume's like that. It's fun.
Yeah, and I think that's like this. Other shonen writers should learn from this because I think there's a kind of trope of like, oh, the main character's on the back foot for the whole fight, and then one thing happens and it's swapped and the good guy wins. And that's kind of the like, you get one reversal in the fight and that's all you get, and that I think most people are bored of and don't enjoy anymore. I think that it, you know, I think it works in some places, but you can't always do fights like that. And again, like, this fight works so well because it goes back and forth like so many times of like, they have the power, we have like, and you'll see, I think almost in every chapter you get one or two reversals of like, oh shit, now the cleaners are on the back foot, oh shit, the cleaners leveled up, oh shit, now Maimo did this, oh shit, like, it just keeps going back and forth, and it like, it makes the fight so good, which is why I think that this is the best fight that they've had so far in Gachi Akuda. So
I think the action is all, we'll get into that here in a sec, but it's action's also great. But on your point, it's it also kind of flies in the face of like normal shonen tropes of like, Felix at the beginning of this volume is like, what is wrong with these people? Like, their companion's arm is broken. Normally I get pissed if someone hurt someone I like,
mm-hmm.
but they don't seem to care at all. And
yeah.
Like, it's very flying in the face of power of friendship is that they don't give a shit if Ruto's arm is broken and Ruto doesn't either.
It's great. And I also, yeah. I think is showing more and more cohesion between Team Akuta here of like, well, they know Ruto, like, you know, Ruto shoved, like, you know, shrugged off the arm injury like immediately, and I even if he hadn't, like, I think they would have, you know, like, Akuta knows what everyone can do and they're confident and they trust each other, so it doesn't,
they trust each other,
it does, like, yeah. And I think that's being displayed here in this volume, so
yeah, agreed.
Cool. Chapter 142 here, experience points. This is the flashback I was talking about with Corvus and Amo. You know, she talks about like, you want to reform yourself, make friends, plenty of reason to join the cleaners. And Amo's kind of, she's very childish, obviously, because of her, you know, terribly abusive background. And so she's saying, like, you don't think Amo's reason is shallow compared to everyone else? And we get an interesting response here. It's like, some people are here only to have a place to belong. Which I think is interesting because it's not, I think
he's addressing Amo herself, because it's like, yeah, she's trying to make amends, but she also doesn't have a place to belong. So he's giving her another reason to be there. It's just like clever leadership talking that he is doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, he literally is, he's kind of stating the, like, you could put a big parenthesis here and put found family, close parentheses, you know, like, which
right,
is the big
right.
theme, and there's tons of, like, basically every shonen, you know, manga anime is some amount of found family, because that's kind of a thing that you're getting in the age range that this is mainly appealing to, so he basically comes out and says it and is like, you can be here in this found family for your own reasons, and that's, and if the only reason is because you want to be here to have a place to belong, like, that's okay. So I like that. I think that's good.
Yeah. He's a smooth operator.
Yeah, and they discuss Amo's power a little bit. She's like, well, you know, I can make people see stuff with my boots or whatever. He's like, she's never made anyone look happy. She's only, you know, turned people against him. So he's like, let's make you a healer. It's like, I'm guessing you're a very sensitive person. Sensitive people are able to willingly absorb their experiences. I believe you can be someone who can use your experiences to comfort and lift others. Which,
a statement on mental health.
I mean, yeah, quite, I was going to say, quite literally, he is saying, like, you have been through darkness and hell and bad stuff, and the best thing that you can do with that is to turn that into a power to help other people. And that's, like, simple and profound and, you know, what Amo needs to hear about that, because I think she's very much a person in this moment and before that was thinking, like, I'm, you know, the obvious sort of, like, I'm damaged goods, I'm not good for anything, I can't help anyone with my powers, it's just turning people against each other, whatever. And he just quite literally says, it's like, the darkness that has been done to you can be used as a power to help other people from your experiences. And this is just like, it's good. It's just good writing, man.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of appreciate, us getting, like, Corvus being kind of a warm guy, because usually we see him as kind of an enigmatic and, like,
mysterious
leader. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it's nice to know that he is a good leader to the cleaners, because we don't see that a ton. So he came off as more enigmatic and, like, mysterious and calculating until this moment where I can see why, like, people follow him.
Yeah, this is one of the first times we get him interacting without Rudo in the room, basically. And we see that without Rudo there, he is still, like, a good guy. So there's some, I've seen some theories, I guess, that Corvus is, like, the Corvus and the cleaners are, like, bad, and it's like, I don't think that will come to be. There might be some other goal they have that's a little hidden or secret that isn't revealed, but Corvus does not strike me as, like, he's going to turn out to be a bad guy.
I think if anything, he turns into, like, an anti-hero where he's, like, a greater good kind of guy, but I don't think the cleaners are bad. I think Corvus is doing a bunch of stuff in secret without them knowing.
Yeah, for sure.
Regardless.
Oh, I was something I wanted to say. This panel up here is the most Okubo panel we've seen in a while. This looks like something
the
straight
shadow.
Out of Soul Eater. He does this in Fire Force a bunch. Like, he does it in Soul Eater. Like, this is a straight out of Okubo. Like, the backlit slit mouth
the
thing.
Silhouetted smile is always
exactly.
Creepy.
Yeah. And so again, we get another kind of reversal here of Maimo saying, like, lack of experience. This is what that leads to, Amo and Pool. And we've kind of skipped a little bit of time where now Maimo has control of everyone and Amo's lost her her small army, which I think is cool. I also like that Engine is sort of trapped here with him and that he's kind of immediately trying to defend and fight him off. Also, what a great panel. Like, what a cool art of, like,
also,
how many,
like,
people there are.
In the last panel, you can see, like, the visual of, like, the whiteness, like, stripping away. Mm. So, like, it's all going towards the dark colors that Maimo, like, go back one.
Oh.
It's like a very Powerpuff Girls-esque Amo's field of control, you can see slipping away.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, for sure. And also, like, this panel down here is clearly invoking, like, her past in a way that, like, yes, she has a lot of people kind of jumping for her, but this panel shows us, like, one person, you know, like, assaulting her in a way. And I think that this is clearly kind of triggering.
Oh, I didn't even connect that. You're right. Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's not, like, a explicit thing, but I think that connection is there.
I think you can infer that. Sure.
Yeah. So I think we're finally going to get to Rudo's stuff here. But yeah.
He looks very Mandark-esque in this silhouette.
Yeah.
At the top, I kind of love it. He has a few very funny silhouettes throughout this, despite being such a despicable character.
Yeah, he just looks goofy.
I
like him here because he's like so much shorter than Felix.
I know.
He's like a foot shorter than Felix. But yeah, he's like, I've had quite enough of you, Rudo. It's like, my dear puppeteer performers, these children have opposed me. Kill them. Another great full page thing of like all of the previous, I think we saw maybe all of these performers at some point in the past. I think this skull guy was like walking through in one of the first chapters in the doll festival. And this is the cat that was performing on stage. So
I hope the cat doesn't die. It had, the girl had like one line about the cat, but it was like a really sad thing. So I hope it doesn't get broken.
Yeah. I mean, but just like, again, just like using cool designs in the best possible way. And it, like, this is again, like we have fully swung back as the fight is in control of Mimo. And it is kind of the farthest we've swung, right? Of like, now Mimo has all the people. Now he's got all these things. And yeah, and he's like, hey, you're going to be forced to hurt these innocent people if you want to stop them. He's like, I don't really think you can avoid it. I like that he's so short. Now that we mentioned it, he's like up on his tippy toes, like, I love the view from up here on my pedestal. He's like, you're actually at the lowest point because this is an amphitheater. But
I didn't realize he wore platform shoes too, so he's short despite the platform shoes.
I think he's like a really small guy. I mean, like, relatively in concern. Like, I think he's probably like as tall as Rudo or maybe even shorter. Like, you know, because Rudo's like 15 or 16 or whatever. So,
yeah, it's tough, man.
But yeah, we do see the escape here from Enjin and Amo. I like Fu clinging to his leg here.
I didn't even realize.
I missed it too the first time because I looked at this and I was like, oh yeah, he's getting out with Amo. I was like, wait, where's Fu? I was like, oh, Fu is right here. Like,
a real Mary Poppins-esque with a little gremlin on his gremlin Fu attached to him.
Yeah, I think now that I've noticed it, Arana is using the dark silhouette panels pretty often
right.
Here.
Yeah, yeah. It's totally analogous. Yeah,
but it's effective. And it is definitely something that Okubo should do. I also like that Enjin. Yeah, I love this. Like, Fu, take Amo somewhere safe. Don't let them catch you. It's like, thank you for the parade of orders, sir. And then Amo has...
Fu's like a perfect foot soldier. He just like...
He's so funny.
This is the guy you want as the foot soldier.
Yeah, he's... but yeah, Amo obviously has a little bit of a self-confidence hit here. He's like, I could, you know, flashback to 4 pages ago or whatever. It's like, I believe you can be someone who can use your experiences to comfort and lift others. And she's like, wait, well, can I really be that kind of person? It's like, you're an ignorant little girl who spent nearly a decade locked in a tower. Do you really think you can use your experience to motivate others? Like, Amo couldn't argue with the mean man. Is it worse than she thought? Is Amo useless? And boy, here comes Enjin being a shithead again. He's like, yep.
Actually, this is perfect.
It is perfect. His thing is that he never goes too far. He goes exactly far enough as the people need to hear or be motivated. He does not go too far to like actually hurt anyone. I do think he hurts Amo, but Amo's more of like in a playful
Amo
way.
Needed to hear that because I like right here he is being mean for sure. But Amo and Enjin have an antagonistic relationship. He's not the kind of guy who can encourage her by being nice.
Exactly.
That's someone like the boss or like Rudo. But from him, it has to be kind of a rival-esque maneuver, you know, something like to kind of get on her nerves and to motivate her that way. So that's what he's doing here. I think it totally works for his character, their relationship. Enjin's just a smart guy too. He's a
totally,
good leader.
Yeah. He, as much as we think like, oh, haha, he's a shitbag and he's mean and goofy, it's like, I actually think he understands everyone around him like way better than anyone around him actually gives him credit for. Like, cause you're absolutely right. If he would have tried to be like, Amo, pick yourself up. You can do it. You're not useless. Like, that would not have worked with her at all. And this does work with her. Like, it completely. Like, I don't know if it, like, doesn't fully bring her all the way around to, like, engaging in the battle again, but I do think that this starts to work on her, where he says, like, yep, you're useless. I'm with Mimo. What he said was spot on. So just sit there like that, taking in those words, and melt into a puddle of tears. And she's like, it's hurting her. It's like, and then you can experience discouragement. Again, silhouetted Enjin here. If it's too much for you, stand up. Show me how wrong I was for calling you useless. When you do that, you'll experience vindication. This is fucking cool, man. This is a cool lesson to teach, like, a character of, like, sit there and be disappointed because you'll experience something new, and then when you realize that I'm wrong, stand up and you'll experience something else new, and that will make you stronger.
And he's illuminated when saying all that. So that's, like, it's all perfect. It works really good.
Yeah.
Enjin is great. And you know, like, the fact that he's aware of how people perceive him, how the dynamics, all that works, means that he is going out of his way to be petty.
Well, and he also understands how Amo perceives herself in this moment, which I think is the really important thing of, like, he really understands the people around him and knows how to work with them, so.
He's a great character. Yeah. And I think this scene, I saw a few comments, and I think this is the only chapter I've ever read comments on, but I was like, people are going to be mad at Anjin about this. And
I was right.
People are like, wow, I can't believe he was such a dick to it. And other people are like, you know, I think he was just trying to encourage her, but yeah, he was really rude. I'm like, you guys don't get this at all.
Yeah.
You guys, no, like, what's happening? Like, what do you mean? he wasn't like shitting on her for fun. Like, what do you think is happening?
No, this is it is very much this is what she needed to hear, and in the way that she needed to hear it, because another way would not have worked with their relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff, though.
Yeah, super good. Yeah, Ryo here is funny. It's like, oh yeah, I forgot. You guys are wearing chokers too. His faces are so good. It's like, can you neutralize your friends, the twin cleaners?
I think Kairana makes these like villains who, like, because this guy has like legitimately no redeeming qualities. He's abhorrent. He's terrible. But he makes so many funny faces that I can't help but to like him a little bit.
He's so much fun. I think he's such a fun, good, bad guy. Like, I really like him.
Yeah, he's fun. He's a good one, for sure.
He's got a little bit of Tamsy, too, in him, right? Where Tamsy also kind of like this. Tamsy's even maybe worse in a way. Of Tamsy is like straight murdered people and done a lot of bad stuff. I think Mimo's,
Tamsy is worse because he's a sociopath and he eats a cake in front of someone and laughs because he watches their suffering.
Yes.
This guy is less bad because he just wants control. But yeah, he's still terrible.
Mimo is extremely egotistical and that's kind of his fun flair. And Tamsy, right, is just straight sociopath, like suffering of others gets him off and So we start getting now, and I don't know what these are or what they mean. We start getting the start of the next couple of chapters, we get these opening pages that show a clock set at a time, and someone with these tattoos on their arms in some kind of situation, we see later on it's some kind of like children's home or orphanage or something. So I don't know what this is, but I am very curious about it.
You want to speculate real quick, just like blindly?
Yeah, well, let's get to the last one, because I think the last one is where there's kind of the most to speculate on. But yeah, just going to point out that they're here, and I think they show up for two or three more chapters here. But I as much as people will get on about like, oh, don't, you know, show, don't tell, I love this lore drop about Team Danger here. And they're also like stylish, goofy twins.
You can't get on this one about show don't tell because Team Danger is just so extra that this just works because they're in your face and they're introduced in an in your face way.
Very much so, yeah. We meet Otto, Adderoy, and Epalte Adderoy.
One of those
names. The Gachaka is just like, that's very difficult to say in English at all times. Is another good silhouetted, like, infighting is the ultimate form of entertainment. You veteran cleaners know exactly how powerful they are, no? And we get a little, dude, this is kind of the flashback explanation of Team Danger. It's like, and I like that it is spread on the backdrop of training Follow, because I think it's nice to see Follow again. I think he's going to be more of a core part going forward. So it's like, oh, you mentioned Team Danger. What are they like? Goofy engine face again. And they're like, solitary. He's like, he said that. I love Zanka here. He's like, he said the same thing as me at the same time. He's like, the reason the cleaners givers work together as teams is that we work in the polluted zones where there's no one else around. Teamwork is one of the ways we defend ourselves. But in Team Danger, teamwork weighs them down like a ball and chain. People who are devoid of decent human skills and ain't got no cooperativity, givers whose powers don't play well with others, guys that are too much for even the cleaners to handle get put in danger. They're a team, but they ain't a team. They're the strongest of the cleaners, and they're all lone wolves, and it pisses me off. This is Zanka saying it. And I love, man, I cannot wait to, I hope we see these characters at some point.
We will. I Puncho Fistman over there, it looks fucking sick.
Yeah, Puncho Fistman.
Giant.
Like Daft gloves. Punk boy on the left, and then like a girl with a chainsaw. Like, that's, I'm down with all of these. And then the twins in the back. Like, oh, the strongest of the cleaners. Like, I guess solitary doesn't apply to the twins. Like, no, in a way, they are positively. So I like, this is a great word to show that Zanka, like, talks like a country bumpkin. I was like, they are positively solitary. That's something I heard in small town Texas. Like,
you've heard that word before?
Yeah, oh, completely, yes. Because, like, there's, like, positively and absolutely, and people would say positively. Like, that is a thing I have heard in real life. This is absolutely, like, a country way of talking.
Have you heard that other countryism he said, like, a little further up, cooperative, he said something.
Oh, like cooperativity or something? Yeah, he said.
Cooperativity. Oh, it's in the next one. Cooperativity. Yeah, cooperativity.
Ain't
no
got
cooperativity.
No cooperativity. No, that's another one which is kind of like, that, I get what, you get what the word means and what they're going for, but that's not a real word, which is, that happens a lot in the country, so. What you see is exactly what you get. Simple as simple can be. Teamwork for them alone. I think that's a cool fucking line to do a page change on, like a two-man battle unit. And you get mechs in Gachiakura. It's awesome.
This is the best fight in Gachiakura, in my opinion, because it felt like I was playing Dark Souls. I don't know how else to describe it.
Or like God of War or Devil May Cry. Yeah. It feels like an action game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And I think they're cool. I'd love that, like, okay, this guy's a bug man with a tail, and this guy is like more robot, like skeleton-y. Well, they have like a bow tie and a straight tie. Like, they're hilarious. It's awesome.
Very cool designs. Like, one of them is butler-esque. The other one has a dinosaur tail. It's sick.
Yeah, exactly. Like the top hat, the bowler hat. Like, they're very. But the thing is, it's also like pretty simple, but excellent designs. I don't know. Gotcha has not missed with any designs at all ever. Like, so it's not surprising here. Here's where I think we start to get all of the really good spreads are, like, in, I think, the next two or three chapters. We get kind of voiceover, like, the cleaners weren't organized to fight other humans. You fight trash beasts, so you never have to hold back. That being the case, a cleaner who doesn't hold back when fighting humans is nothing but a monster. And then they, like, annihilate the stage they're standing on. Like,
right.
This ain't good. It's just like, I don't know. Like, I just like this page because this is, like, the paneling in this page is so incredible. Like, I had to include it. Like, the three at the top, Engine, like, looking serious and being like, this is maybe a real problem. And then, like, Rio, and, like, showing that, like, oh, that explosion, like, killed some of, or, you know, hurt some of the people in the group. And then, again, the sort of, like, dark silhouetted thing. That's the dark silhouette is the theme of this volume now.
Yeah.
We get Maimo, again, doing his large mouth, like,
is it color commentating?
Exactly what I was gonna say, like, MC color commentating the fight. Like, they mean business. If you want to stop them, I'd recommend destroying their vital instruments. He's like trying to, like, egg them on to, like, oh, you better, like, mess them up and destroy the vital instruments. You don't have time to be wibbling about now. Oh, I don't want to break vital instruments. If you didn't happen to bring any garbage to weaponize, just look around. Everything here is garbage. Use your powers, use everything you've got. It's not fair to only show the info broker. I want to see a big one too. It's funny that it shows the, this is like that chest that he transformed. And Maimo is like, oh, I want to see something like that too. Cause this was like imbued with the Canis's power or something like that, that made it like super strong. Right.
Yeah, exactly. I think he just wants to see their secrets.
Yeah.
And he borderline comes in this panel up here.
It's so, I love this, like, and then if I can, I want to control it! And it's like, my lord Maimo, your image of a calm and collected ruler is crumbling.
You can't be calm in front of all these people.
It's so funny.
My lord.
Yeah.
Then Rudo finally activates his vital instrument, which, it's interesting because it's different every time, right? So I guess I didn't expect it to be his Halloween costume, but it is.
Yeah, and we get a cool kind of flashback to show us about that. But I love that calling the enemy a turd face is how Rudo basically, like, does his Power Rangers transform. Like, I feel like every fight he's in now, it's like stuff will happen, he'll try it, and then he'll be like, stupid turd face, and then he's gonna use his power and really fight. And it's literally like, it's Morphin time for Rudo. He's like,
character development for Rudo is when he grows up and he learns the word shithead.
Yeah. He's like,
he's going to be huge.
Asshole shithead. It's like, oh my God, he's 25 now. And he's saying this. I love it. It's like, I'm not going to destroy anyone's vital instrument and I'm not going to show you a big one. I'm not going to grant your wish. I already have my weapon and it's right here. And he starts like transforming one of his shoes. We also get, this is, oh crap, what's his name?
August.
yeah, August, which is kind of leads us into the next chapter, which starts with
August. Reminds me, August and Maimo should be fighting, if you ask me, because they look so alike.
They both have that very extra personality, which I think is great.
In sunglasses at all times, yeah.
Yeah. So we get a description here of Rudo's costume that he was given, which is from August, which is like, it's a wolf, which is an extinct animal, which I like that they have the sort of like Japanese kind of old style art of a wolf, where it's like, that's not, like, if you look at those things, any animals they draw, it's like, that's not what a cow looks like, you know, 1200s Japan.
I like that. It's like how we see like a T-Rex nowadays, right? Like, yeah. It's like with scales and not feathers, like they actually had. It's like one of those things that people have just accepted, this is what wolves look like.
Exactly. And so we go through kind of all the different things that are in this costume for Ruta, which come from August Pass, which is like the wolf head he made for the doll festival when he was 13. The neighborhood bully messed it up and its lower jaw is gone. The jacket is made with scraps from the first fabric he ever cut. When he was like 10, and the boots, he says, I tried adding drips from the metal I melted to attach the studs, and they got hella heavy. I'll always remember them for teaching me the importance of weight reduction. I tailored it all to fit you, and I've designed everyone's Dollfest costumes around your ensemble. What do you think? Pretty freaking fresh, right? It's like, but these things all mean so much to you. Are you sure it's okay for me to wear them? I love his sister's like, oh, he said he wants you to wear them. He's like, slow down, Aisha, my dear. he knows that you can find the worth in anything, and it made him want to use lots of his treasures for your costume. It's like, ah, now you've done it. You weren't supposed to tell him that. Now I have to tell him that I also gave him the first underpants I accidentally pooped. He's like, what are you making him wear?
This is maybe August's funniest line. I don't know why you would do that.
It's like, if the worst should happen, you'll feel better knowing you have something you can make into a weapon, right? But if you have to carry a backpack or whatever, it would ruin the whole design. So you have my permission to turn those clothes into weapons. And if I know you, you'll use them with love and they'll go out with a bang. And we get the like transforming into this awesome spread of Ruto with these like wolf claw boots. He's like, you won't let my memories go to waste. And it just looks absolutely sick.
I love how edgy this is, like what I liked about Deku's design when he was edgy, except I felt like his character didn't really benefit from the edginess. But Ruto is like, he pulls off the edgy designs.
Ruto is the anti-whimsy. There's no whimsy in Ruto. Yeah. He is hyper serious most of the time and very edgy serious for sure. I think it's sick and I like the power he's about to get. I also, again, we get the bad guy not understanding Ruto's power and his relationship with quote-unquote trash. He's like, you've been running trash this whole time? And Ruto hits him with it's not trash. They're valuable items full of memories and love. He's like, I thought you could only make weapons out of trash and broken stuff. He's like, you haven't done your research, Maimo. My 3R draws out an object's full worth. The more love it's been given, the more it explodes with power. And then he runs himself straight into a wall, which I think is hilarious.
yeah, it's great.
I love this. This is actually...
But it's also like a flex because like Maimo didn't even finish his word. And he hits the wall.
Yeah, it's like they look at it like he disappears. It's like cough, boom. He just the shockwaves are still there, and he's already like impacted into the wall. It's great. It's one of those things where it's like, how do I describe it? Like having a character like activate a power and flawlessly overcome every solution is boring, and having them like create a new thing and struggle with it at first is so much more interesting. And even just this like. I think it's the only time he messes it up, but he just runs himself straight into a wall. It's hilarious and funny.
You know, actually, I was thinking about this during this chapter. Is it better for Gachi Akita that Ruto's power is different every time? Or is it better for the series that, like, Goku has the Kamehameha, Naruto has the Rasengan, Ruto doesn't have any kind of special move, right, that all of these other shonen people have? Like, is that... And I think in terms of fighting, we don't know how any fight will go with Ruto because we don't know what he's capable of in that fight. I wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing ultimately. I think it keeps things interesting, but I don't know from like an, I don't know, stakes perspective, I guess.
I think what it is I think it is a more difficult way to present the main character, and I think that Kairana pulls it off. Like, and so I
think so too.
Like, I don't think it's bad because I think the execution of it is really good. In that I think that a lesser author, that tried to make a different power every time, it could get boring, and I'm not bored of it, and I don't think I ever will be, and every fight is different and cool. I also think that in generally in almost every fight, we are presented with a static team around Ruto whose powers we know, and then we are introduced to an adversary whose powers we learn about, and then Ruto's powers are introduced into the fight. Like, it almost never starts with, like, I'll transform something immediately and we'll start the fight with Ruto using his power. So I think that it's used in a skilled way and that it is a mystery and then we get all of the setup around it and then it is executed and like, oh, that's, you know, that's a cool twist on this fight now because now Ruto has like super speed.
Yeah, you can introduce mechanics without it feeling like a Deus Ex Machina as well,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
Because it's a new tool that Ruto's using and learning on the fly, so yeah, he can do new things with it.
And
yeah,
it's also one of these things, and this is, you know, I'll harp on, what was the fiery sword head cut off? Demon Slayer. I'll harp on that until the crows come home, that the reason that was so bad is that you had him cutting people's heads off, and then you got a flashback saying why we should feel sorry for him.
Yeah,
Gachiakura does it perfect in that he starts to transform. You don't know really what's turning into. You get the flashback to explain why it's important and what it is. He executes the thing, and then you get sort of, well, here's what the power is and what it's doing. So it's like the
right
order of the sequence there is correct in that he's starting to transform. Ooh, what's it going to be? Hold off on that. You know, edge you for a little bit on that thing. Give him the backstory, then execute on it. And that flow, it just works. Like
and
I said, the execution,
you know,
of it is excellent.
And I'm hesitant to give Gachi too many kudos for that particular thing, because that's just logical, right?
It is the correct way to do things, but
Demon Slayer does it that way. I don't know why.
I think lots of shonen mess up the order of flashbacks in general.
You think
so? Yeah. I do agree that it is the obvious sort of quote-unquote correct way to do things. Gachi does not mess it up and does it correctly, and it works,
yep,
and that deserves kudos and points. So,
I guess. I feel like it's just like, you should get demerits for not doing it that way, I guess, is what I would feel about it.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so we get Ruto has, I tried adding drips from the metal, we get sort of talking about it. It's like, oh, he applied weight reduction and used them for speed. It's like, you're exactly the kind of person I've always wanted to dress in my creations. And this is, yeah, this is again where the power stuff gets cool. Because again, it's like, I never would have said like, oh, well, what if we had a speedster in Gachiakura? But now it's like Ruto gets to be a speedster for a couple of chapters. But yeah, as he does he kind of zips through here. This is reminiscent of, oh God, the bugle call, the lines in that. I've only read a little bit of that. But yeah, the David versus Goliath, big man, little dude, literally running circles around him.
Is that what that was? Okay, I thought that was the brother who did a tail swipe, but that's Ruto running.
I think that's Ruto running circles around him, because then
they
they get really extra here and they like join hands and do like a full kind of 360, like full swipe.
And then he does a tail swipe, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I also, man, this is like, it's just such good like panel flow here, like page flow, right? Is it's like, he's running around there. You see them, they go, and you, all it is like a flutter across the whole page. And then their eyes change and you're like, oh, he was like, I was never planning to go against their vital instruments. Your rule line works through the chokers. It's simple. And he's got the chokers in his hand. So
the bros are going to start talking soon.
Yes.
Did you expect them to be very formal and kind of like butlery?
I didn't know what to expect. With them, it could have gone so many different ways, and it's hilarious.
I've never called how they ended up this way, but yeah.
Yeah, it's great though. So when chapter 145, it's like, without a choker, they don't fall under your rule, do they, Mimo? Chapter 145's title is Skadoosh, which we're going to hear a lot of that. They immediately are just like, Skadoosh, Skadoosh. They just like say it a lot and are flipping out, and Ruto is like, what is going on?
Okay, so the word skadoosh, right? That's like a Kung Fu Panda thing, right? That's where it came from?
I don't know if it originated there, or if it was like a, you know, a word that was primarily used by Kung Fu Panda, and that's where everybody knows it from. Like, it may have come from somewhere else. I don't know. I'm wondering what they're saying in Japanese. They might literally, I'm surely they're not saying skadoosh, but I don't know.
Probably some other shitposty weird word.
Yeah, probably there's not like an analogous English way to say it. I think skadoosh is a hilarious choice. I think it works here.
It's good. It's fucking weird as shit.
I also love that they put on their little, like, introductory speech here, I guess. It's like, freed from evil, Skadoosh. Like, thanks, Yoruto. Nice to meet you, Yoruto. It's like, I'm the big brother Otto. I'm the younger brother Apalte. It's a pleasure to Skadoosh your acquaintance. It's like, they have a lot of personality. Maybe I should put the chokers back on. It's like, behold our normal state and give it a hug. So let me fill you in. He's like, no need. We maintain consciousness while under his rule. Ergo, we are fully surprised in the situation. I do think that the older one talks a little bit kind of proper. He does say ergo, which is a very kind of old.
So does the top hat one, right? I think they switch between formal and then Skadoosh mode.
Yeah, yeah. Like, damn that Mimo. I want to smash him with an iron fist without ironclad barriers in the way. He messes with all the rest of us from his safe little panic room. It's like, oh, how is Ryo doing? Like, oh, she's over there. It's like, apparently we can free everyone from his rule by taking off all their chokers. Like, but that would be a pain in the ass, Otto, my brother. Yeah, not worth the effort. We are not cut out for that kind of tedious work at Palte. So we give Mimo the Iron Fist, but Mimo's in the Iron Clan barrier. Frick! In that case, I love that they both, like, the little heads here, and they both, like, say frick at the end.
the same brain cell being shared.
Yeah, and they give us, in that case, we'll clean up the big guys, and then they use their ultimate special move, Skadoosh Festival. He's like, so this is Team Danger. He's like, I can't handle this. And man, this is maybe my favorite. This is my favorite page, maybe in the whole
fucking, I don't know, like Power Rangers, Gurren Lagann.
So cool. Yes, it is.
Sakuga face.
It is absolutely feels like a trigger, like eye catch, right? Where it's like the glint in both of their like mech's eyes is like, step back and watch. I love they both go insane here, like sharp teeth, like our technique that can't be recreated from under another's rule. It's like synchro style. Omnidirectional cross Skadoosh, and they just like start spinning around each other and like immediately wipe out all of the big guys. And we get to like, excuse me.
And this is where Felix is like, I think we should leave. And he's like, excuse me, we're not fucking leaving. It's like, I'm here for a reason. I have to test this out. This is all going according to plan, and this is the perfect training.
And again, we get the fight has swapped now into the favor of the cleaners because the Skadoosh twins are here. And Mimo is literally kind of almost tells us what kind of we've been talking about. He's like, I must counter the countering. Like, they're in control. I must get it back now. And don't you think this is the perfect training for that? You experience the most growth when the rehearsals are over. These cleaners really deserve my gratitude. and then, like, I love that Felix is just like, frick, frickin' frick. I didn't realize you were so wise. And I suggest that we turn tail and run. Frick, frick, frick. It's like, what a dirty mouth you have. And the choker maker, Gauntus, I don't know how long you'll be able to use him. Well, how long I'll be able to use him. I need to find a potential new tool. And he smiles when you see Amo. He's like, the cleaners are the givers that keep on giving. I'm guessing that he's like, in Japanese, he's probably saying like, so like the kind of curse word that Japan has or whatever. And they probably didn't want to put fuck, fuck, fuck in there. So,
Felix is like, I think he's like a really interesting. It's like pairing up Captain America with like the Riddler. It just makes like a weird combo, and I like it.
It's cool. It's playing different personality styles off each other well is awesome.
Great fucking.
We get a little tingle. It's like, Felix, the time has finally come to test how ironclad your barrier is. And like a hyper detailed Ryo eye. It's like those eyes are. Those are the eyes of a beast thinking about how to break open a tortoise shell. Does she think she's some kind of predator? It's like, I'll smash her, fangs and all. And we get kind of, she's still looking. She's looking at the ball. She's like, I like that she does like a little like mime here. This is 146, by the way, we're on now. She does a little snip and does the way that scissors would kind of roll off a ball and be pushed back.
It's a leverage issue, yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, this is... The coolest part of the fight, I think, is coming up here, is what Ryo does here. But she's like, the shell's harder than I thought, especially with spherical objects. There's not a notch or a nick somewhere. I can't get a grip with my scissors. If I just go for it anyways, I get less than a second of impact. It's like, I don't suppose they could come charging at me. Wink, wink. I guess not. If they could move, they wouldn't still be in that one spot. Thanks, Xbox Gaming. She's like, and sees other people kind of... Now we flash over to... you're gonna get those Xbox recordings in the master, maybe. Oh well. So we get Gil and Zanka fighting here. All the like Buster Balls or whatever she called them going all over, and Zanka's sort of going face to face with her again. Just like good eye catches, man. Cool characters. Yeah. The superhero pose from Zanka up there, the 3-point superhero pose.
And in the last panel, last page, there was like cool Zanka dodging like stars panel.
Yeah, this thing in the middle. Yep.
Yeah, very cool.
It's very good. It's like, how long can you keep this up? It's like, they're not aiming for your stick. I ordered my balls to hit you. We get a little bit of explanation of her power. It's like, once I give them orders, I don't control them anymore. Those balls want to hit some part of your body, and they won't stop following you until they do. And we get a kapop, and it kind of fizzles out. I love this. Eh. It's like, well, well, well. Looks like if they ain't balls no more, your power don't work no more neither. I actually really like the way this translation goes. I don't think in the anime that they give Zanka this country voice. I don't know, though. I'll need to check it out and see in English.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like, what is it in Japanese that they usually?
Oh, is it like
the Kansai accent?
It's like Kansai, Kansai. There, yeah, the Kansai accent, which is like the kind of country bumpkin, quote unquote thing. Casually slicing through high speed ballistics. That's not something an average Joe does. He's one of those snooty elite kids, the ones who are all, I didn't study and I get a perfect score on the test. It's funny how absolutely wrong she's kind of like right, and that yes, he is an
she's
elite
half
kid.
Right.
Yeah, she's like half right, but totally wrong about like, I didn't study and I get a perfect score. It's like, no, Sonka has to try really hard.
Yeah, he does get the perfect score. He just has to work really hard at it.
Yeah. I think this is a great development. He's like, almost out of balls. Eh, shame. They made for some good training. She's like, I'm never out of balls. And then unzips her hood and it's just like full of balls in this weird like hood thing that she has on.
In her little jester cap. Yeah, that's very cool.
She's also like, this chapter is setting up exactly what's going to happen really soon of like, when I hit a ball, it goes towards you and it doesn't stop until it hits you. She can turn any spherical object, it is even like bolded here, right? Any spherical object into a breaking ball. So long as I have the energy, the fun goes never end. I don't know if this is the correct translation here.
There's actually like foreshadowing even before this, which is kind of neat. Can you go back like 4 or 5 pages?
Oh yeah, where?
Like where Rio was. Yeah, so like her brainstorming instantly translates to her looking at Zanka's fight to get an idea.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that, but this is the connection. She's like, I don't suppose they could come charging at me. Wink, wink. Looks at Zanka's fight. We observe Zanka's fight for a little bit. And then I fucking love this. I like turning the page to see this, like digitally, of course, but like turning the page to this, you're just like, I exactly understand what's going to happen now. This has been set up. This has been set up this chapter perfectly. And we get like a, that's great. And she's like mid swing. Also like, what a great dynamic pose.
Mimo's very funny in this one as well.
Yeah. He's like,
holding his knees like bored.
Yeah. And Felix is like upside down. I also love her face here. Like it's so good. Like, huh? And it's like, bing. It's like Rio takes the mound and throws the pitch. She's like terrifying here.
She's terrifying in every panel in this volume.
Yeah.
I love it.
I also like that Zanka is looking at Rio as he has this like scared face. He's like, oh no, what is Rio doing? And we get like a oops tap, and then it turns the whole orb into a Buster Ball. He's like, what are you doing, Rio? The ball's coming straight for me. It's like, what are you doing, Gil? He's like, you jumped out in front of me. She's so funny in this little panel too.
Like, and I think this is like, they mention how Team Danger is like the strongest of the strong individually, but they're all lone wolves. And this is the strength of Team Akuta, not stated out loud, is that Rio only won her fight and they broke the barrier because they had a teamwork moment where she got leverage via Zanka.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and literally they beat both of them in kind of the same action. Rio like
right.
hits the ball into Gil and then they're both defeated with this basically. Cause it's just like, well, it's over now. She also obviously does the sort of like back me up from behind, like support me. Also, this is a great, what a dynamic. It's just the action. This is so good. And Zanka's like, seriously, do not mess this up, and drives it in, puts his back against her. It's so cool. And then it's just like, you couldn't get a good grip from the air, so you deliberately resorted to this madness. He's like, that was a bad decision. When those scissors shatter, Gil's power and my shield will combine to turn you into roadkill. My letters are absolutely unbreakable. My feelings, the strength of my love, cannot be surpassed by anyone. And then Rio says, then I can cut through it. When love is too strong, then it's easy for cracks to get in. And she looks like a demon. And I love that.
I think this is going to say something about her backstory in some capacity. her trauma, but let's keep that panel in mind.
Yeah, that for years from now when it happens. But yeah, when love is too strong, then it's easy for cracks to get in. I also like that this is a, I think this is a wonderful moment because this is actually Ryo using Maimo's strategy of sort of like talk, you know, talk no jutsu, you know, try to mess with their minds to get into their powers. Because she says this, and immediately it's sort of like, Felix, I think, like, doubts himself for a moment, and it's the one little chink happens, and that's all she needs to get her scissors in. And it's like, oh, she said that, and he's like, oh no, does that mean I'm weak? Boom, chick, scissors get in, sweep cut in
half. I wonder if it was the mental game, or if it's, like, a statement on loving too much. You know, like unbridled love with nothing in between, right?
Yeah,
like,
I don't
pure
know.
Pure devotion.
I took this as more of Ryo getting into Felix's mind, just the time, like, because she mentions earlier, right, a couple chapters ago, it's just like, if there was one tiny chink, her scissors could cut into it, and there's not. So I think what she does here is she plays the mental game and is like, I'll plant a tiny little seed of doubt that maybe undying love is not a good thing, and if he believes even a tiny inch of it, it'll let me cut through it. I think that's what she does. It could just be that she's the strong.
I'm reading this in a different way. Okay. I think, like, what her like statement on love, I think, is related to her trauma and that she doesn't believe in love. But I think it is more so like kind of a statement on love versus devotion, right? Where he loves Maimo, but Maimo's clearly evil and he can't see it. So there's like a difference between love and too much love.
Or maybe just a difference between him loving his wife, his likely dead wife who sent the letter, and loving Maimo, and how it's not as strong, so the shield isn't as strong. It could even just be something like that. So
who knows?
There's lots of angles of this. Either way it runs, I think it's a cool, it's a awesome moment that I really like. So
it could also just be scissors beats paper.
Also, that is definitely part of it. And so now we get a sort of flashback into Gauntess, I think, is who we're seeing this through. It's like, Gauntess Nock, I presume. Do you like high places? And then we see, finally, I think this is the first time we see him, like, fully. We see Gauntess, the owner of the Watchmen series that creates the chokers.
Sure. How sure are we this is a flashback?
Oh, this here?
Yeah.
Where
he's in the chair and stuff.
Well, no. This page, I think, is a flashback. This is right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The end of this chapter is a flashback into
a flashback. Yeah,
into Maimo and Gauntess meeting, I think. And then here, this is current day because he's got all the blood hooked up to him and he's like
and
tied to the chair.
And
he says like, oh, she broke through. Again, just awesome stuff. I love the reactions from Gil here, fully cutting through everything. And she's like, are you going to dock my pay? And then Zonka just like whaps her on the neck.
And he had a comment about how like characters like her always have these kind of like snarky responses, snarky, irreverent responses, and how it's better to just knock them out.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Her type always tries to pull some superfluous garbage after the fact. Best to tie her up. And Felix is, I like that we just get like one picture of like a car crash into a building. And it's like, that's sad. It works, man. That's sad.
Yeah.
It's like the last letter from my wife. And it's like, that's, you know, and again, Ryo here, the silhouette volume, obviously being the darker of the two characters here. But also softening up here in the middle. It's like, don't pity me, girl. Don't pity me. When I lost the love of my life, it was Lord Maimo's words that saved me. Now I am Lord Maimo's shield. My letter may be torn to shreds, but as long as I have not broken, I will continue to be that shield. You can cut it into a million tiny pieces, but you cannot shake my unconquerable love. This time I will keep my loved one from harm. Come at me, Ryo Reaper. And she's just like, you're kind of annoying, and kicks him in the chin.
I bet he comes back. I bet we see him again at some point.
I hope so, because Gil and Felix, I think, both are interesting, cool characters. Maybe they join the Raiders or something, and they end up on the bad guy side again. Would be cool.
I see Felix joining the good guys at some point. He's too. I don't know why he's even on this team, to be honest. He's just too nice, I guess.
Tragic backstory, very nice defender guy. It's like, where did Maimo go off to? And we get Gauntes here. He's like, 20 years. It took a long time for your chokers to take the place of the old communicators. When I met you, you were overflowing with ambition to rise higher in the world. Until one day you decided you wanted to stop. It was a good call to time your rebellion for this moment, where you're outside my rule. I made sure that when I turned the audience into my puppets, I wouldn't control you with them. And it backfired. You didn't tell me the cleaners were coming to Dollfest. It must have taken a lot of effort to keep that from me. After all, I ordered you to report everything to me, every piece of information that you learned through the chokers. I wonder if you've developed a resistance to my orders after taking so many of them. He's like, enough of your preamble. You have a favor to ask me, don't you, Maimo? It's like, your defenses have all been defeated, and the counter against your rule has begun. I knew you would come to me when the tide started to turn. You always resort to the same methods when you can't give orders. You're going to use a weakness of mine to threaten me and force me to do your bidding. And he says, but I have no more weaknesses.
What a hard page.
It's a great, the, like, sketch style on it. It's like, my family, my freedom, even my dignity, you've already taken it. You've taken it all. You've used up all my weaknesses, and now your words have no effect on me. This isn't a rebellion, this is revenge. I've passed the baton to Rudo. Kill me if you like, but my revenge will go on unhindered. The curtain will close on your rule, and you can drop dead along with it. I like that this is like, Gauntes here is like, he thinks these are the final words he might ever say, and he's like, he's laying it on him. And then we just get Maimo saying, to Lily. And Gauntes is shook. He's like, I understand she's an old, dear friend of yours, the one to whom you gifted the first choker you ever made. It's like, it must have taken so much effort to hide her from me. But when I saw Rudo, I was convinced. Now then, I have one last job you're going to do for me, Gauntes. So yeah, I think that's probably where the volume ends. The next chapter is a Gauntes flashback fully. That feels like it's probably the start of the next one. So it didn't make sense to end on like one of a 3-part flashback. So I think that this is likely the end of the volume. And I think it's a cool reveal in that it makes total sense. Again, like, all the logic in this series connects really well. Like, to Lily knew Gauntes, and that's how she had the choker that she gave to Rudo, and so of course they're connected. And Maimo is now going to use that against Gauntes as sort of his last threat. So.
Cool. Yeah, I'm curious to see how it all goes. And, of course, we'll get the flashbacks and whatnot. And probably another volume or two. I'd say probably one, but you probably know better than me. Because the fighters are out, so I'm not sure, like, what other cards Maimo has. But
I think the next volume will be both of our favorites for a good chunk before this. Not to hint too much, but like, the stuff that happens in the next volume is, for a series that is pretty much batshit insane at all points, like, even more batshit insane, and it's awesome. Next one's going to be a good one. We'll get to that next year. But yeah, so that's volume 17. I like the cover. I like Maimo cover a lot, actually. I think he's a great bad guy. I had a lot of fun with this one. Any final thoughts? Any catch up? Anything we didn't mention there?
No, I had a fun time. I thought like, this was maybe our best action volume. So I agree. I think this is our best action volume of Gachi. And it was just like pure fun fights throughout the whole thing. I'm looking forward to next volume as well, because I think Gachi does like action so well, because it's like, the volumes, not every volume has action.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, all of the action has set dressing and everything like built up to it, so I appreciate it when it happens. But I also am here for like the writing. Gairana has a really good mystery and really compelling beats, so I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I like that there's, it is often difficult to highlight a bunch of different characters and fights in kind of a larger fight. And I think that basically almost everybody got something to do in this one, and it was interesting and cool, right? Amo had her wave of people and a little bit of flashback. Rudo got to do his speed stuff. Ryo got to cut the ball in half. Zanka got to also cut some balls in half, like, and have his little fight and be kind of seen as like, oh, he's a real threat.
Fu got to carry Amo.
Yeah, Fu got orders twice, and so that was great for him. We got the Skadoosh twins, who were, I think, were hilarious. I think that's the kind of thing that will be elevated by voice acting in the anime that I'm looking forward to watching. Like, there's not a whole lot of stuff in this where I'm like, ooh, I bet the anime is going to be better for that. But I think the Skadoosh twins, like, those guys, I think, will be more fun with a good voice actor doing that. I think they'll really elevate it, so.
I think it's especially because they're, like, kind of, they're a huge subversion in how fancy they dress versus mm-hmm. their demeanor, which is, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just bizarre, I would call it.
Yeah, bizarre is, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think like what I really like is that, you know, I think Horikoshi has some great art, but, you know, like we talked about, My Hero Academia action scenes are hard to keep track of.
Hard to follow, because, yeah.
Yeah, hard to follow. And I don't think Gachi has that problem, because mm-hmm. Everything is, like, visually pretty clear, and it's, you know what's happening. Like, yeah. I didn't point it out at the time, but, like, when the twin mechs are fighting Ruto, like, one of them is, like, attacking Ruto, and Ruto dodges, you see in the panel. And the other one, you see in the background winding up a punch mm-hmm. that gets thrown in the next panel. It's, like, a very cool thing.
Yeah, I remember seeing that, too, and it's definitely really good. It also does the thing that I mean, I talk about it in one of the two videos I made on White, Gray, Black, but, like, if you want action to appear, like, faster or be easier to follow, it takes more panels. And I think she does this, because you'll see here, yeah. like, he's supposed to be moving really fast, and it isn't just like, oh, he's here and then he's in the wall. It's like you get him launching off, you get a reaction here, you get three reactions, and then you get a page of him going past and a zoom out and this, and it's like, and you can tell that he went fast because there's, you know, there's seven panels on one page, and that's what a fast action takes. It's like, it's not you can't do it in one panel. Like, the faster you're moving, actually, the more panels you need. And she's really good at that, like, all over the place, right? Like, one, two, three, like, this is five panels for, you know, yeah, the stepping up here, yeah, and the joining of hands and stuff, and yeah, she's really good at action. I think she's gotten better, because if you remember the Amo fight, which I think was the first kind of big fight, I did not think that was super well choreographed or executed. It was okay, but I remember having some issues with that one, and now it's like, and the Trash Beast fight was the same, where it was like, it was better, but it wasn't perfect, and now I think it's like, she's perfect, firing at all cylinders for this fight.
Yeah, and you know, I guess a random off-topic thought is, like, I think the fight works. Normally, I think speedster fights, like in movies and stuff, are cool to watch, but they are usually, like, devoid of stakes, because, like, they're moving so fast. Like, you know, like, the Quicksilver is, like, he could just kill everyone he sees, you know?
Yeah.
But I think what I like about, like, Ruto's speedster form is that he doesn't have superhuman perception, so he can't control its top speed. Like, he ran into a wall by going too fast. Which, I think that increases the stakes, because if you look at the Flash, you think he can just solve everything. Or, like, even Quicksilver, in all of his scenes, he just solves every problem in his vicinity in, like, a second. And it's like, I think the problem with speedsters is, like, Ruto could just do that. But he can't. He doesn't have the perception to move that fast and do all those things.
Right, and also, assumedly, he will never have this power again, right? Like, we have not seen Ruto repeat any powers, so in the future, if you think, oh, if he had the speedster power, it would solve it, but it's like, he can't have it again. He used it up, and it'll, you know, the shoes will go away or whatever at the end, so.
I like that, yeah.
Which I think is great, yeah. Yeah, I think this is a good one. There's a couple of things hanging that we know should be coming at the Doll Festival eventually that weren't in this volume at all. One of those is that, remember that Bundus is coming here. Our good boy.
Is he?
Yes. So
he had that little thing.
He has the little statue, the little, I think it's Canis Cerebrek statue, right? The piece, whatever it is. And he was commanded by Zotal to find the Choker Maker. So that, to me, that's a Deus Ex Machina that's planted here somewhere that he hasn't shown up yet, and he might, and I'm assuming show up here sometime at the end. So
we have a few more things on the docket as well. Yeah. One, if we're going to talk about how Maimo loses, he probably gets assassinated by Zanka's brother. Mm. That's my guess, because he's doing is supporting from the shadows, right?
That's right, yeah.
The presumption. But another thing is the girl who gave Rudo the ticket in the first place.
Yes, she's called like Bird or Wing. Wing is her name. Yes, that's another thing that is out there. Is Wing is somewhere we don't really know.
And presumably, this is speculation, but I think she is probably the white bird that they're looking for.
I think so too. Wants you to believe that it's Two Lily, but I think it's pretty clear that Wing, I think, is the White Crow. Like the information person, White Crow. So
I think so too, because like Two Lily is too obvious, and they already speculated that is it Two Lily, and them posing the question means that it's not.
I think so for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is Hyo, right? The girl, like Zanka's rival girl, is also
here. She's here too.
We've seen her, I think, once in the last volume. She's here too, doing something. We don't know what. We have not seen her do anything yet. So
she's interesting because her like one line, she's had like one insight into her, is that she's perfect fighting wise, but like her one thought bubble that we saw is like how bored she is about, and I think that her character is just like a living weapon essentially, who's just bored.
Definitely appears to be she's sort of like the most talented, the best of the whatever they're called, the police state people,
the gotchi Nazis.
Well, they're not. I mean, they're just like the police, the whatever Goka and the other Zanka siblings are a part of. She's a part of that, right? So,
sure.
A
police state, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
call the Hellguard. I don't know.
Hellguard. There you go. Yeah, I can't remember the name. Hellguard. Yeah, I mean, that's. I don't think they are Nazi territory. I think they're probably sort of like a. I don't know. They aren't that far gone, I would say. I don't think we should look at them as should look at them as purely evil, as Nazis. I think that there's some interesting stuff going on.
Yeah, maybe not. I think they're on the good guy's side, but they have only been described as like kidnapping people they suspect of being otherworlders and
shooting at Zanka to train him to dodge bullets.
Yeah.
it's an intense group, that's for sure. And then I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I mean, that's really kind of a lot of the hanging threads that we have still left open here. So, yeah, the Hellguard people working behind Hyo, Bundus, Wing. It's interesting that, like, so much has happened and there's so many people interacting already and there's more to come. So that's kind of all.
Yeah, in this very arc.
That's my tease. Yeah, in this arc we have things that we have been sort of foreshadowed already that we have not run into yet. So.
True. But yeah, I'm liking it so far. I wonder how you include all this other shit when it like at this point, I guess.
I don't know. We will have to read and find out. But cool, yeah. And anything else on the volume? Or are we good to get out of here?
We're good to get out of here.
Cool, let's do it. Hey, thank you again, everyone, for listening or watching. Please stick around for continued discussions. We'll be doing those as the volume covers come out. So not necessarily as the volumes come. We like to use the covers in the advertising on our end. So. And again, you know, if you're enjoying this, be sure to leave us a like, comment, subscribe. We're doing these every 3 months. We have slowed basically on the other podcast episodes, but we're going to keep doing Gotcha Akita because we just love it so much. So stay tuned for those. And yeah, I think that's it for this episode of the Gotcha Akita Book Club read through. So adios.
See you later.
And don't forget to read more manga.